Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank. Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
All right, is this it? Is this the start talking music?
Well, good morning, Chicagoland. Hello. My name is Ray Stevens, Ramblin' Ray, Raimundo Sanchez. Maybe you've heard of me before. I've been here a couple times, two, three times, mostly with Amy J. So Amy and Dan both with some holiday time off. So I'll be taking it from here, 312-642-5600, the call-in line this morning. If you'd like to text, you can do so. We'll be here, 64636. You text DA, and then the body of your text goes in. I read it here. It's like magic. If I sound a little nasally, I texted and emailed the powers that be and said, hey, your Foster fill-in, your forever fill-in guy is a little, you know, you get a little radio work every now and then. And then the crud hits you, and here's what happened. A couple weeks ago, it was about a week ago, my girl and I, my best girl, Gina, we went out and we did the Wreaths Across America wreath-laying ceremony out at Abraham Lincoln National in Elwood. Man, if you've never been there, put it on your list of things to do for next Christmas. I made a little bit of a pact to myself, if you will, to do stuff that would get me more in the holiday spirit. One of those things was, and this was my girl's deal, is that we would go see Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith at the Rosemont Theater. She's a good Christian girl, Ileana Christian girl. You know, she knows this Michael W. Smith inside and out. I didn't. But I knew Amy Grant because, my goodness, she's married to Vince Gill. Pure Prairie League, of course, a great solo career, and then, his stuff with the Eagles. So we go and we see that, and then we go to the wreath-laying ceremony. I'm around all these people. and we get near the end of last week, and she decides she wants to go to Nashville and see the holiday lights, the Christmas lights, if you will, at the Opry Mills, which is, it's if you've never been to Nashville and gone to the Opryland, it is absolutely insane. It is like Six Flags. Any Six Flags you've ever been to, or Walt Disney World for hillbillies, which I consider myself a hillbilly. I was in the country music business for a long, long time. So we go there, and I told her, I said, I do recall whenever I would come to Nashville for any radio seminar or whatever, you'd come hang out with a bunch of goofy people. I do remember that 3 or 4 days after being here in these terrariums, that I will, in fact, be sick. So Christmas rolls around, and here I am. I've got the crud. My mom would say, well, you're always sick around Christmas time. I'm like, no, that's not true. But, man, I got it. I got it good. And she's been shoveling things into me. I don't know. For those of you old enough to remember Elvis and Dr. Nick, she is my Dr. Nick. She went out on Christmas Eve and brought me back more vitamins and stuff and elixirs and all this natural stuff that she does. And it's like she's doing seances and things over me. I'm taking charcoal. I'm like, what the hell am I taking charcoal for? I guess what that does is it takes and it binds all the nasty stuff in your body, and it puts it together and it flushes it out. So if you've got the crud that's going around, and I guess a lot of people here do, you'd be okay. I'm not one of these guys that buys into the I didn't get a booster for my booster for my booster. I didn't listen to the Anthony Fauci say, Ray, listen now. You're going to die because you haven't had the shot for your shot for your shot. I pretty much run on a pretty healthy level, so I don't worry about that stuff too much. But, man, oh, man, she's got this stuff. She's putting it on my feet. She's putting it on my chest. I'm like, just give me a little Vicks and some tea. I'll be fine. That doesn't work. You got to do this. And if you saw what she looked like and what I look like, you'd probably say, you know what, you might want to listen to her. So if you're going through it this time of year, I guess it's going around. We're not dying. We're going to be fine. if you were one of the ones that are traveling for the holiday season or have people coming in and out of your area or you're trying to get to and fro, good luck to you. More than 14,000 flights have been canceled across the United States. Of course, this is all because of Winter Storm Elliot or whatever the hell we call it, because we've got to name storms now. But the flights that have been canceled are just unbelievable. I get that it's cold. I know people are having problems. I know, I get it. It was, we were rolling along here, really nothing to it, and all of a sudden this cold snap hit and boom. But the flights that have been canceled Southwest alone are unbelievable. More than 400 flights canceled at O'Hare and Midway. That was on Christmas Eve. Yesterday, more of the same. What people are doing to find their luggage is they're taking these, you know, whether it's an iTag or I used to call them, what the heck were they called that I had? But you put these tags in there. It's, yeah, I truly believe it's how my ex-wife used to find out what I was doing. You take a little computer chip or a chip and you put it on your keys so you can find it. You put it on your luggage so you can find it. There was a woman at Midway yesterday. They said her luggage was in San Antonio. She's like, no, it's here in the airport. I've got a tag on it. I know where it is. Get my luggage. If you're going to travel, you may want to do that. But if you're trying to get out or get anywhere today, good luck to you. I wanted to have Alderman Ray Lopez from the Fighting 15th on with us today to talk about his experience, not running for mayor, not running, Inglewood, but what in the hell is going on at Southwest Airlines? Because the cancellations are just absolutely unbelievable. Fueled by the massive winter storm. Of course, if you've seen what's going on in Buffalo, it's absolutely amazing. There's snow there. I've never seen snow like that. And I'm a snowmobiler. I love getting out in this stuff. But man, uncle on the weather. If you're having any problems with heating or pipes in your house, let me just tell you right now, if you've got the torch and you're going to try to unthaw your pipes, be careful. Stay away from the joints. Those are called sweat joints. And if you heat them up too much, you're going to unsweat them, you're going to loosen them, you're going to have big problems. Coming up this morning at 6:05, there is a really classy plumbing outfit out of the western suburbs. And I know this sounds nuts, but I like these guys because they're vehicles are always clean. I mean, you can have 2 tons of road salt on your road alone. It could be the dead of winter and their trucks are still clean. How they do it, I don't know, but it's Mendel Plumbing. Mike from Mendel Plumbing is going to join us at 6:05, 6:10, top of the hour. And we'll let you know what to do to thaw your pipes out properly. But more than that, what you can do to keep them from freezing again, because it is just, it's a mess. And we're going to talk rolling blackouts as we get through the morning today. Jeannie Ives. You all know Jeannie. She's a returning guest to this radio station. We're going to talk about rolling blackouts and what they mean and what's going on with our infrastructure. And here, we all want to go buy electric cars and be woke and drive around in these fancy electric cars. But they're telling us now to tamper down the thermostats because we're using too much power. One little cold snap. I mean, and if you think about it, you've been around Illinois and Chicago enough. Sure, it got cold, but it's certainly been colder than this, and for longer periods of time. I don't quite think we're ready for all these electric flying cars. So we'll talk to Jeannie Ives about that coming up this morning, right around 6:35-ish here on the Dan and Amy Show. You want to text, go ahead and do so. You can text us at 64636. You got something to say? We'll help you say it. Just text DA and then go from there. And if you'd like to call in, 312-642-5600. Again, my name is Ray Stevens. You've heard me up and down the radio dial. I will be here today, tomorrow, and Thursday, filling in for the kids here on AM 560, The Answer.
It's what Chicago is talking about. It's Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan and Amy on AM 560, The Answer.
Business owners, now's the time for your business to make the move to a locally owned business bank. Hi, Mike Gallagher here to let you know that you don't have to look far. Signature Bank was founded in Chicago with a simple mission to help companies like yours grow, succeed, and thrive. Their decisions are made locally by a terrific team that knows your name, cares about your business, and invests in your success. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. I'm a customer. As business owners, they knew that local family-owned businesses were not getting the help they needed or deserved. So I invite you to reach out to my friends at Signature Bank today. Write the number down. Remember this phone number, Signature Bank, 773-467-5630. And learn all about this great bank, 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. Member FDIC, equal housing lender.
Good morning. Welcome in. Welcome in. AM 560, The Answer. Ramblin' Ray in for Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson. I think Dan is somewhere warm. I think Amy's probably somewhere out in the Wasatch Range out in Utah. And I dig it. So I'll be your foster fill-in for the next couple days. And then I don't run from this cold weather. I go to it. I'll be up in northern Wisconsin on the snowmobile where I will try to stay away from reading. But I'm having a hard time not reading the almost 4,200-page omnibus bill that's been worked up and passed. And, man, what's going on with Senator Mitch McConnell? Come on now. But one of my favorite things, and I love how they build all this pork into these bills, and I am going to make travel plans, maybe not on Southwest, although it's usually my favorite airline, just some problems this time of year. I'm going to head on down to Atlanta, Georgia, and hike that $3.6 million Michelle Obama trail. That's 4 miles. That's a lot of money for a four-mile trail, isn't it? We are going to take some phone calls here this morning, 312-642-5600. I believe Craig is on the line in Mount Greenwood. Craig, you say you were at that Amy Grant show in Rosemont?
I was. And hey, Cool Ray, thanks for taking my call.
How you got it, bud?
Yep, I'm the guy when you and Amy are filling in for...
When Dan's not here.
When Dan's not there and everything, I'm the guy that gets on, and I appreciate you always taking my call.
I was at that. That was a good show.
It was a good show, but here it goes to show you something. My wife wanted to go to that, and my daughter and her husband treated, and we both went. It was really good, but here's the thing. I'm more into, some really, higher velocity music kind of thing. Uh-huh. So my wife, man, was having a great time, and I actually was dozing off.
you know there was a lot of people with their hands in the air and everything else. I didn't quite get there, but it was an uplifting show, man. I appreciate your call. Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
All right, Tony is on the line. Tony is in Downers Grove. I think, Tony, you bring up a good point. I see what it says here on the call screener, is that the Southwest just doesn't have the infrastructure in the way of people working to get the job done right now. Welcome into the Morning Answer, pal.
Hey, yep. We had every flight was canceled yesterday from Austin to Chicago. We rebooked, but then we got a different flight on American also, just in case. And sure enough, 6 o'clock last night or 7 o'clock last night, our 8 o'clock flight this morning was booked. You look, every flight is. I'm looking at all the flights are all canceled coming from Austin, and it's not. Yeah, it's just Southwest. I mean, we don't have Americans still going.
Yeah, people were saying that they were jumping on connecting flights in and off of other planes without much issue at all. So, well, safe.
Yep.
Are you back home now? Are you done traveling for the holidays?
No, we're supposed to leave this morning, but the line for Southwest yesterday, there were people standing in line for 5 hours trying to get different flights.
It's a nice line, though. So, and, you know, you'd think that since they got over to the big airport O'Hare, that things would be get better for them. Not necessarily. That's what happens. You get rid of people, and there's nobody to do the work. God bless you if you've got to fly today. I don't envy you at all.
You've made the switch, and it feels so good. You switch to Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560.
Hey, business owners, is your business and money in good hands? Does your bank invest in your success? Hi, Mike Gallagher here, letting you know that when you need a relationship bank, Signature Bank makes commercial banking personal. I love these guys. Not only do they have expansive industry experience, a strong financial track record, but they're also highly capitalized for strategic growth. That's so important. That's why Signature Bank is my bank. They know what it means to grow a business by designing solutions that are right for you you and only you. These are real people. They're ready to help. So reach out to my friends at Signature Bank. Make the call today, 773-467-5630. 773-467-5630. Or visit them online at signaturebank.bank. That's signaturebank.bank. Your business could be Signature Bank's next success story. Go online, signaturebank.bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. Signature Bank.
The Answer. If you're looking for the latest news, insight into what it means, and the sharpest opinion, there's only one station in Chicago where you can turn, and it's this one. We're AM 560, The Answer.
Yeah, you know, we're supposed to buy electric cars because, well, it's better for the earth, all you heathens driving your carbon-burning vehicles. And by the way, my F-250 is in the garage. Just fits in here, too. You know, I come to these radio stations and I'm like, you guys got to understand, I'm bringing my truck. Will my truck fit in the garage? It's always a concern for me, and it just fits. I thought maybe I'd have to let a little air out of the 35s this morning, but I didn't. Those are the tires, if you don't know. I know most of you do, don't get me wrong, but man, she just barely fits in the garage. And I see that starting next Saturday here in town, we will have the Chicago Recycles Christmas tree program. It's very important that you recycle your Christmas tree, because if you don't, you know, it could fill up landfills. Who comes up with this stuff? Who actually takes their Christmas tree to a landfill? I mean, even if you have curbside pickup, you know, I used to hate that. You get ready for Christmas, go through all the excitement. You want to celebrate the birth of the baby Jesus. And then all of a sudden, the next day, Dad's got the tree out on the curb, stuck in a snowbank, and just like that, it's over. We don't want to send them to the landfills, but don't most garbage companies, at least in the suburbs in Chicago proper, don't we mulch them, turn them into mulch so you can, you know, put them in the, you know, put them around your, you go get the free mulch because you're too cheap to pay for the stuff at the local landscape place. But they say that you need to recycle your tree because it's better. It's better for us as the planet, and I get it. Turning to mulch, mulching trees is more earth-friendly than sending them to the landfills. What I do, and I don't mean that you should do this either, and you can always tell me how you want to recycle your tree, 312-642-5600. That's the Dan and Amy phone line, direct into the studio here on AM 560, The Answer. I take my tree every year, and just because I want to keep it fresh and updated, and I don't want to do the same ornaments and the same lights as next year, I just burn the whole thing. The whole thing right there. Go. Done. Lights. It smells for a little while. The neighbors find it a little unruly, and it's an artificial tree. It really will burn well. You gotta, maybe put a little diesel on it, maybe a little kerosene to get her going at first. But once she goes, boy, boy, oh boy, she goes. I mean, I get it. I know we want to be good stewards to the earth. I think everybody does. You do your part. But I think some of these green environmentalist lunatics have taken it maybe a little too far. You know, now you have a full website, you know, that probably costs the city of Chicago a lot of money, and what doesn't, to have somebody come up with ideas on how you can recycle your Christmas tree. I think we all pretty much get it. But I'm talking about some of the things that went on over the weekend with this cold weather and this cold weather snap we had. And I talked about this just a touch earlier, is that this is a fast snap. 6 days ago, it was above freezing. It's going to be 52 degrees and rain by Thursday, Friday. You'll be washing your car in your driveway, getting the salt and all the crud out of your garage by Thursday. But if you were in Nashville, you had rolling blackouts, and what's interesting, the observation I made when I was down there, and I was down there just before the holiday with my girl, and you forget that, we drove, and you forget, okay, it's a 7-8 hour drive, depending on how fast you want to go to the south. You forget what a difference there is between here and there. When they get into this cold weather situation that we had, and it did get cold down there, they actually put up yard signs that look similar to campaign signs that say frost warning, freeze warning, keep your faucets running, because there's a big difference. It's only 8 hours away.
And they were freaking out because they just don't, they're not ready for the cold like we are. Now, you go 8 hours to the north here, and it's totally different up in northern Wisconsin, UP and Michigan. I mean, they know how to handle this. And again, I'm going to talk with a plumber coming up at 6:05 just to kind of give you a tip on what you can do, because I know there's a lot of people that are dealing with frozen pipes, even in the nicest of the nicest houses. But go back to the rolling blackouts, infrastructure, things like that. In Nashville, they were going to delay the Titans game, the NFL game. And I try to watch other NFL teams because the Bears are just so bad. My God, how much worse can it get? I know it's a rebuilding year, but geez, give me a break. One of the officials from the Nashville Power Company was talking about how they wanted to have the Titans postpone the game, maybe even cancel it, just to be a good neighbor to the people around them that didn't have any power. This is Jack Baxter.
We actually had an official from the NFL reach out to NES and contact us and inform us that they did not want any special treatment as far as today's game. They do have some backup generation on site, and they were prepared to use that backup generation to do the things they needed to do to carry on with the game should we need to interrupt their power.
Now, the crazy thing about that is, so Nashville doesn't have any power. They're doing rolling blackouts, and some people are out of power for an hour or 2 hours. And when you don't have the insulation and you don't have 2x6 framed out walls with all the correct insulation, because they're not used to that kind of cold, You need your power on. The crazy thing is, for some reason, all night long, and they do this a lot there, the Titans Stadium, I guess it's LG Field, whatever the hell they call it, the lights on all night long. In the middle of the night. How much power was that taking up? Could you imagine you're down there, you might be in one of the lesser 10-2 areas, if you will, in Nashville that you can see off in the distance there. There's an empty football stadium with all the lights on and all the power cooking. Now, what the hell is the sense behind that? I have no idea. Phone number this morning and every morning here is 312-642-5600. I believe Chuck is on the line this morning from Delvin, Wisconsin. Chuck, welcome into AM 560 The Answer. Good morning, pal.
Hey, first-time caller, long-time listener.
Yeah.
Hey, I wanted to tell you about all these people should just get in the car and drive. Get on the other side of Atlanta, and then you got, when you wake up the next day, you got a five-hour trip. Hey, I wanted to say one more thing. In 1983, I'm old. In 1983, I saw my first polar vortex, and that was caused by my mountains. And that year, I saw three spotted owls. And then in 2007, I seen spotted owls. 2019, I seen spotted owls, and now 3 weeks ago, I seen spotted owls.
See, that's the thing.
And I'm here in Delvin, Wisconsin. And so what happens is they know it's coming. And when I saw them each time, 3 weeks later, it was cold. And if you think that because it's going to get 51 coming up on Thursday, it ain't over with. Them birds flew all the way south for one reason.
Well,
they don't want to be in a frozen tundra.
I saw two cardinals yesterday, and whenever I see two cardinals, that means the weather's going to go up into the 50s. Thanks for your call, buddy. I appreciate it, man. Here, you can tell the weather patterns by the way the animals act. I don't doubt that, but I doubt that the spotted owls are going to tell me whether or not it's going to be below zero. But I get it. It's cold, man. It's cold. You can follow me on social media if you will. You know, we've all got it. We all do it. I know some of you. I know this audience. I understand. You're a lot like me. But I see, I need social media to keep in touch with you. So, and when I'm not on the radio, and sometimes I'm not, when I'm not on Tucker Carlson or on Fox, I've got to be on these social platforms. I've got a podcast now that I'm doing with Kathy Hart that used to work at The Mix with that horrible, horrible Eric Ferguson. You can find that on my YouTube channel. But, people will say, well, why are you on the social media so much? I know. And then it's the devil TikTok. You know, nobody wants you to be on TikTok, especially when it comes to the U.S. government. Why are you on TikTok? It's the Chinese. They're spying on us. They're going to get all the information, and they're going to take over the world. Now, you got to ask yourself, is that really what's going on here? Or is it that the United States government can't control TikTok, and that's why they don't like it? And this is why I pose that question. Later on this morning, we'll talk to an expert about this, but there is now news that the Biden administration, what a surprise here, pressure Twitter to censor medical experts who question the CDC COVID guidance on vaccine. So we're finding now, and you know, whatever your opinion of Elon Musk is, I personally think the guy is a madman. I love that he bought Twitter, and I love what he's doing. Because I'm here to tell you that if you have conservative views and you are on Twitter, you will get slowed down. And if you don't know what that means, it's all an algorithm. And they have ways of knowing what you're tweeting. They have ways of knowing if you're using your platforms to sell. They have ways to know if what you're putting out into the universe doesn't match theirs, and they slow you down, or they quote-unquote shadow ban you. And I found out that I was shadow banned. It was really interesting because for the longest time I tried to get that little blue check mark because, you know, even a ne'er-do-well like me has people that will go out and they will say that they're you, misrepresent you, and it causes problems. That little blue check mark is supposed to tell people, hey, this guy's on the up and up. But anymore, with everything we've seen at Twitter, I don't even know if it matters. But the Biden administration, and if you look back to last year, he claimed social media companies were actually killing people because of how they talked about the pandemic. Now, you and I both know that all these social media platforms tend to be more liberal. There's just no doubt about that. And we know now that both the Trump and the Biden administrations could use Twitter as they would see fit. I would say more so the Biden administration than Trump. All Trump wanted to do was get up on his platform and yell and scream and say, you guys are bad, it's fake news. And, you know, whether you like the guy or not, and I was all aboard the Trump train in 2016. And I just think if he would have just slowed his rhetoric down on social media and you know, put those thumbs at rest, that maybe it would have gone a little bit different for him. But he's the kind of guy that if you poke him, he's just going to poke you back. You push him, he's going to push you back harder. It's like that line in Casino, or was it Goodfellas? You know, they hit us with a baseball bat, we put them in the grave. It's just, you know, it's just that give and take, but he is not going to take it. But I digress and get back to social media here, is that these big tech companies are being paid off by politicians. There's just no doubt about it. And more so on the left than anything. And boy, they do hate it when they get caught. But the thing that amazes me is you've got all this proof right in front of you of what's been going on, who's paying who, who's doing what, who's saying, no, we're going to cover up the Hunter Biden story, don't talk about the laptop, nothing to see here, is that even the people that have been duped and fooled by Twitter, social media, Biden administration, the left, if you tell them that they've been duped, they just hate it, and they push farther, push you back farther, because they hate to admit that they've been fooled. And I think that's why they do not like TikTok. And both administrations didn't like TikTok. They were all talking about TikTok, how it's bad. And to be honest with you, you know, I get on TikTok and I just get, it is a time suck. There's just no doubt about it. And then a lot of you probably don't have a TikTok account. Most of you probably are on Facebook. I get it. But you know, if you say something bad on Facebook, boom, you go into Facebook jail. But TikTok, I just watch for ridiculous videos. Instagram. You don't get the visceral hate and the divisiveness that you get on a platform like Twitter. Twitter is just politics and people's opinion in 240 characters. Instagram's friendlier. It's nicer. Facebook, it's mostly for wishing people happy birthday. Twitter is to fight with your left and right politics. TikTok is just a time suck. But they don't want you on TikTok because it's the dreaded communist Chinese. They're coming to take all your freedoms, and they're going to take all your information. You're going to wake up, your bank account's going to be drained, and your girlfriend's going to be gone. But I got to tell you, for me personally, I watch TikTok just for videos. And if I can give you a suggestion of somebody to follow, because I know that we've just been through a horrible cold snap here, and we're going to come through another one. You just heard the caller from Delavan talk about how he's seen the spotted owls, which means it's going to get colder again. You see a spotted owl, you go buy yourself an electric blanket, capiche? Because that is the telltale sign right there. You'll have to excuse it. I've got the COVID. I'm kidding you. I don't. But I'm a little under the weather. But Yanet Garcia is a, you want to follow her, Yanet Garcia. I am Yanet Garcia. It is a product of Telemundo. She is a weather personality, and she will give you the weather and leave not a lot to the imagination. Men and women, if you want to pinpoint forecasts, follow Yannet Garcia, and I think you'll see what I'm talking about, especially for you men. Every time my best girl, Gina, sees me on her Instagram or TikTok, she's like, are you looking at that girl again? And I just tell her, I go, baby, listen, I don't have spotted owls out here in the yard, so I don't know when the next cold snap's coming. But Yannet will tell me and lead me to the promised land. It's Ray Stevens, the unfamiliar voice you're hearing this morning. Sometimes you hear me a little righter on the dial because that's the way I am. I'm always to the right. It's the Dan and Amy Show. If you'd like, you can call this morning, 312-642-5600, or you can text 64636, text DA, then the body of the text, whatever you have to say. I'll make sure we get it out there. Coming up at 6:05, 6:10 this morning, any problems with heat, plumbing? I know a lot of people are dealing with this. I've got a little bit of a, you know, kind of a shell answer man in my friend Mike Mandel, who'll give us some details on what you can do to get by in the midterm. That's on the way this morning here. You're listening to AM 560, The Answer.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
I'm just looking on the list of things I had planned to do this week, and I see here I have Paul Bryan scheduled to call us on Wednesday to talk about this lunacy that is electric vehicles. But I believe on Thursday, Paul was walking to a non-electric vehicle, slipped on the ice, and broke his shoulder. So he might be out of commission. Guys, make sure that I check on that before the end of the week to make sure he's going to be here or not. But if you are driving an EV, and I have a good idea based on this audience alone that you're not, you have what you call electric anxiety. That means if they want to put you in one of these EVs because you are a good person, you're good to the earth, you're saving America, forget about where those batteries are going to go and we don't need them anymore. Forget about if you get in an accident and that car starts on fire and it takes a hazmat company to come put that car out. Forget about all of that. You have electric vehicle anxiety, especially when the weather's like this, because let's just take, for instance, you're driving a Ford Mustang Mach-E. Now, I will tell you, I've driven one of these vehicles, and it's like driving a slot car from when you were a kid. It's instant power, but your winter range drops 30% because of the cold. You know how your cell phone acts in weather like this? Imagine if you were stuck in Buffalo in a car like this. But I'm told the good news is if you're in a car like this and you get stuck, your seat heat and steering wheel heat will work for 8 hours. Your car won't be able to go anywhere, but that seat will stay warm. So you got that going for you. It's called electric vehicle anxiety. So if you're in an EV this morning, good luck to you. But it'll be better by the end of the week because we'll be near 52 degrees. So you've got that going for you.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Oh, it's the holiday season. Dan and Amy with a couple days off. A text message to the Dan and Amy text in line. Hey, Ray, the dog flu is going around. Your best lady's dog gets the flu. Who's she more concerned about, you or the dog? Are you kidding me? It's the dog. This woman, is she spectacular? If you log onto my website or follow me on any of my social medias, just look up Ramblin' Ray, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, RamblinRayStevens.com. This young lady that I share a life with, boy, she's something. But her dogs, oh my goodness, they're both rescues. We got them at Paws Chicago. We are a no-kill family, unless I'm deer hunting, of course. But the way she fixes food for these dogs, it's unbelievable. The crock pot's always going. They eat pork. It takes her, I'm not kidding you, a half hour to mix up the dog's food because the dogs are allergic to everything. I'm like, Gina, these dogs, they lived on the streets of Chicago. They're both rescue dogs. One was a pit bull bait fighting dog for pit fights in Chicago. Little ears are all nipped up now. These dogs have the life of Riley. There's no doubt that if it was me or the dog, she's taking the dogs, and I'm okay with that. They deserve the best life they can get. If you have not ever been to an animal shelter, you've got to get your next pet at one, because I'm telling you, these dogs know that they've been saved by you, and they will treat you as such for the rest of your life. What good little animals. PawsChicago.org is where I go. If you're in Bellwood, you still have a boil order in place after their many water main breaks yesterday. We've been doing a bang-up job with the infrastructure repairs that we've got going on. You would think that with all this money we've got laying around from that guy that has that triple extra-large Carhartt, with all that COVID money still coming in, that we would do something with some of our infrastructure around here. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see where that money goes with the great J.B. Pritzker. But I digress. We've been dealing with a cold snap here. It's still cold. It's 8 degrees right now as you're waking up with AM 560, The Answer. That means we've had a ton of issues with frozen pipes, no heat calls, plumbing, you name it. So I thought, why wouldn't I have somebody on this morning that can kind of speak to what some of you may be going through, or what you can do to kind of not have this happen next cold snap. With that in mind, I want to say good morning to a friend that I have on the radio from time to time, Mike Mendel from Mendel Plumbing out in the Fox Valley area and serving most of Chicago. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Ray. How you doing today?
Buddy, I got to ask you, if you've have you had a chance, I know you're a good Christian man, have you had a chance to enjoy the season at all, or have you just been... they say asses and elbows with the work that you've been doing, because I know that you've been very busy, haven't you?
Yes, we have. We've been, there's been so many that we can't keep up, as all the companies are experiencing that. We've just tried to, and over the holidays, try to put a balance where we serve our team and serve our client.
Well, let me ask you this. Every year, you know, and inevitably somebody's going to put something in your mailbox. You're going to see something come across your computer. You're going to get a reminder for somebody that's done service for you saying, hey, here's our multi-point checkup. It's going to only cost you $39.95, whatever the price may be, to come out and check. I know your company does that kind of thing. And I know sometimes people see that and they're like, yeah, I'm not going to do that because I really don't know what they're looking at. Should people do that kind of thing just to kind of preventative maintenance?
Yes, that's a large amount of our calls on the heating side especially could have been avoided with just simple maintenance. And same with the plumbing. We've had several where the hoses weren't taken off, so it froze and broke, things like that. If you just do the maintenance, it definitely reduces the calls.
Well, what you just said is something that I forget to do every year because I'm a nut about keeping my cars clean, and I love to wash. If it's over 40 degrees, I'll hand wash my car. I don't care. But you got to make sure you take that hose, even if you have hot water to the outside and soft water and all the special stuff. If you don't take that hose bib off, that's a big problem, isn't it?
Correct. What happens is it does not drain. And it shuts off in the house, but it doesn't drain the pipe. So when that happens, when it freezes, it expands, and it usually breaks it.
This is Mike Mendel from Mendel Plumbing. Hey, Mike, I used to work with this lunatic of a woman. Her name's Lisa Dent. She works, just up the dial a little bit here. And I know that every year her house would freeze. She'd have the same problems over and over again. She'd never wanted to do the maintenance or to put the unit heater in the garage that would have kept this from happening. What is the number one thing you see on return calls or the things that happen in our area that people don't do to keep pipes from freezing and having these issues?
Well, in most cases, that can all be solved with getting heat to the piping or rerouting the piping. And like you said, the garage furnaces, we see a lot of that, you know, where there's bathrooms over the garage or some of the piping that goes up the garage wall. And, you know, people forget, leave their garage door open, and it doesn't take much, especially in the temperatures that we just experienced.
Okay, now you got a guy that you know, knows his way around the house. I think I can fix just about anything in my home. Knock on wood, I've never had a real issue with frozen pipes, but you will get a guy that will take his little propane torch, click it on there, and then start heating up his copper piping. There's some things you got to be concerned with there, and I know that, you know, sometimes we don't pay attention, but stay away from the joints. Is that because you'll unsweat, that's what they call when they couple the joints, you'll unsweat those fittings, Is there a better way to do it other than, so, I mean, that's problematic when somebody does that. I've seen that, and it's even caused a few house fires here in the last couple of days in Chicago.
Yeah, that's, you really need to be experienced if you're going to do it that way. We use pipe dollars, or if you can use a heat gun in some cases, but you really don't want to do that without experience.
I get a call from my girl the other day, and she's like, I mean, and Mike, this is when it was 10 below zero. She's like, we've got some moisture on the windows. We need new windows. I'm like, are you out of your mind? I'm like, the windows are fine. It's freezing. Everything's good for the most point. But where do you find the most heat loss in a building? And let's face it, there's people in Chicago that are living in buildings that are 100 years old. What's the number one thing you do to fix this up? Is it insulation? What is the thing you can do right now to kind of keep the house a little bit warmer and keep the pipes from freezing other than, throwing a blanket under the door and keeping that water faucet trickling?
Well, like you said, the insulation is a big factor, especially in a home like you talked that's 100 years old. Often they didn't have insulation, or if they did, it was just newspaper in the exterior walls. So that's one. The windows, depending on the age, yeah, that's a big one too.
So do you want me to give out the phone number, or are you too busy for that?
No, we'll take any. Yeah, we'll do our best to serve.
How backed up are you right now? And I know that you said earlier, and I know you talked to your contemporaries in this business. They're all running like crazy too. But if somebody were to call you this morning for a service, just on, could you get there today?
Yeah, as of last night, we were on priority 1 and 2, which is emergencies only.
Okay. And what is an emergency to you guys? Is that somebody without heat, or is that somebody with pipes that are just getting ready to go?
No water, no heat, both would constitute an emergency.
Mm.
Well, yeah, now over the weekend, we were at capacity over the weekend, and sometimes we were not able to serve that same day. We had to push people off the next day and sometimes even 2 days with the holidays.
Preventative maintenance is the key, and be careful if you're going to thaw out those pipes. I mean, if somebody was going to try to do this themselves and they had access to their pipes, what would you consider? Is it a hair dryer? Is it heat tape? I know that you said you use thaw tape. Is there a difference?
Well, when I say thaw, we have machines that we hook up to the piping to thaw the piping.
Right, right.
Yeah, so if they use a hair dryer in some situations, often the frozen pipes, it's beyond what a hair dryer will do. But there's some cases that we're able to thaw with a hair dryer.
Text line into the Dan and Amy text line here at WIND. Somebody was just saying that they have a smell of noxious gas, which they think is sewer gas. Now, that could be something as easy as a drain trap being dry, correct?
Correct.
So make sure that if you're getting any smells into the house, anything like that, even if there's a toilet you don't use, if there's a sink you don't use, make sure there's water, and that'll keep some of that smell from coming back in, right?
Correct.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you. Mike Mandel, Mandel Plumbing, just some of the things we can look for. And if you had any advice, it's do some of that preventative maintenance, make sure the furnace is checked, and you don't have to. I'm sure you love the business, but, man, it's probably a little bit more expensive than Yeah, I mean, you gotta be charging a little more during the off hours. Am I correct?
Correct. I mean, we do have a hours charge.
Yeah, it makes more sense. It makes more sense to stay ahead of this. Well, Mandel Plumbing out in the Fox Valley area, we appreciate your expertise this morning, pal.
All right. Well, thank you.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Now, am I supposed to say at the end of an interview that it's sponsored by someone? Am I not, guys? Is it? The turnkey.pro answer line. All right, very good. That was good. That worked well. We'll put some of that information up later on the socials and on the website as well. Do you want me out here or do you want me out around 22? Well, let me just, as we talk about the weather and all of the craziness, I just want to play this real quick because this happened in Buffalo. And, there's good stories to talk about from bad comes good, and sometimes from good comes bad. I'm more of a glass half full kind of guy, and I should have chose a story where there was a family stranded in their van, and they went and they took comfort in somebody's home in Buffalo, and they were there for 2 days. They were it was a gentleman and his wife. They were Korean. They were here going to see Niagara Falls on their honeymoon. Now, why you would do that when you know there's a winter storm coming down and there's 5 feet of snow on the ground already and there's another eight coming? But I chose not to do that story. I want to do this story instead. Buffalo Police Commissioner said that multiple arrests have been made after people were found. Here's what's going on. You've got so much snow, you can't move. You can't get your cars through. You can't get anything done in Buffalo. I mean, it is a mud. The only thing Buffalo can do is beat the hell out of the Bears on Saturday. That's it. You can't move in Buffalo unless you're a looter, because then you get your freebies. We like to call it undocumented shopping, but the mayor of Buffalo, he is none too happy with you people.
People who are out looting when people are losing their lives in this harsh winter storm is just absolutely reprehensible. I don't know how these people can even live with themselves, how they can look at themselves in the mirror. They are the lowest of the low. And from some of the pictures that we've seen in social media of these looters, they're not looting foods and medicines.
No.
They're just looting items that they want. So these aren't even people in distress. These are people that are taking advantage of a natural disaster and the suffering of many in our community to take what they want from retailers, also potentially putting those services at risk in the communities where they are looting.
Now, come on, because Kamala would tell me that these people were out getting their insulin and their NyQuil for their colds. They weren't getting big-screen TVs. Are you kidding me? Like the other day, I'm leaving the Walmart, and I posted a beautiful picture of that sun dog we had on Christmas Eve day, early in the morning from the Walmart parking lot. My tweet was, I hope this is Jesus looking over you, Chicago, but it was fantastic. But the best vantage point I had was from the Walmart, where I'm walking out, and the girl's like, can I see your receipt? And I'm like, no, you can't see my receipt. If you wanted to see my receipt, you would have checked me out personally. I didn't ask to work here. God, I don't know why I go to that store, but it was one of those last-minute things that I forgot. God help us and God help these. And I said to her, I go, a couple months ago, people were walking in and out of this store with everything, and you just let them go. Now you want to see if I paid for both things of deodorant? On the way this morning, boy, that omnibus bill is coming down, and the insanity that is Chicago. One of our favorite returning guests, Jeannie Ives from the Fighting 42nd, joins us coming up this morning just after 6:35. This is Chicago's Morning Answer. In for Dan and Amy, I'm Ram Ledray on AM 560.
Connect with Dan and Amy using the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
How you doing? How you doing? How we doing around here? How you doing? Ray, Rambled Ray in for Dan and Amy on AM 560 The Answer. Bob is on the line this morning. Bob is in Buffalo Grove. Bob, welcome
good
to
morning.
How are you, pal?
Good. We met years ago when you were at the White Sox game with that other guy from the other radio station.
Oh, Fat John.
Remember that?
Yeah.
I just wanted to thank you guys for going live today and hearing you. As much as I love Dan and Amy, you get tired of hearing their reruns.
Bob, here's the thing, man, is that, you know, content is the king. We want everybody to have a little time at the holiday season so Dan and Amy can be with their family and do the things they love to do. So every now and then, that's when the foster fill-in comes in. And that's
I love to hear, you know, the other people, and I'm looking forward to hearing Jeannie Ives. I've met her many times with Breakthrough Ideas, and I'm hoping to hear what she has to say for the coming year.
Bob,
and I wish you the best in 2023, and hopefully Dan and Amy, when they take more breaks, they'll have you as a fill-in like they do with a few other people.
Well, buddy, I appreciate you. Bob, I appreciate you calling Buffalo Grove. Thanks for calling in. If you want to call or text, we are going to be here, they tell me, until 9 o'clock this morning. Bob did mention that Jeannie Ives is coming up. You see, Bob is paying attention.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Yeah. Normally, I'd be somewhere way, 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 way north of here on a snowmobile, ice fishing, providing, because that's what I do. But Marcus from WIND said, Ray, could you just stick around for a couple of days and work? And I said, well, sure. So whenever I'm on the Morning Answer with Dan and Amy or filling in, I like to have on people that know this game better than most anybody else. And I think of one woman that comes to mind, and that would be Jeannie Ives. Jeannie Ives, former member of the Illinois House of Representatives for the Fighting 42nd District, founder of Bright Ideas. If you don't know what that is, Google it, and she'll give you the website here at the end of our conversation. But just a brilliant woman, fun to watch, and now I believe a grandma. Jeannie Ives, welcome into the show.
Hey, thank you for having me on.
Good morning. How are you? How are the holidays?
Very good. Yep.
Well, I want to ask you, I was driving with Gina, who, you know, she loves you, and we went to Nashville before the holidays and we drove. And the one thing that always strikes me, and she brought this up with, it was unaided. Once we got down a little south of Piatone and we got into the middle of nowhere, and we're driving along, and she says, man, I feel like we're going to be in the state for 6 hours before we get to Kentucky. It's a big state. I go, and you don't really realize that because we kind of stay in our area from time to time, and she posed the question to me. She goes, how is it this can be such a big state that's just predicated by the results of a Chicago election? And I simply said, it's just sheer numbers. It really bears no explanation, but it's really... Chicago's like an island surrounded by reality, isn't it?
Chicago and the suburbs, they dominate the population, and so that's control all comes from, and it's just unfortunate, but, you know, none of these folks are really looking at the issues that matter to most. I mean, and I know you're going to want to talk about energy, right?
Because, oh, yeah.
We're basically having this scarcity situation when we should be just... absolutely controlling the market from Illinois, and we don't.
Months ago, maybe it was a year ago, you started telling me, you're like, Ray, keep an eye on this, because this is nuts. The sheer stupidity and ridiculousness of what we're doing by shutting down these coal-fired power plants in Illinois and then buying our energy from surrounding states, I mean, that's really got us into a little bit of an issue here, hasn't it?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, a little more complicated than that, but at the root cause of it is it's basically trying to substitute really good, reliable energy for other sources that don't work. And so it just defies all common sense to have these legislators literally voting to say we're going to have no more natural gas or coal production in the state of Illinois. I mean, that's nonsense. Anybody can, and in fact, I encourage listeners to do this. You can actually download apps from PJM Interconnection or the MISO app, and you can actually see where your energy mix is coming from. And when you do that, you'll understand that it's coal and natural gas and in the PJM area, nuclear, that dominate our energy production. It's not wind and solar. Right now, you're staying warm because of our fossil fuels. And to deny reality is to basically endanger the future of the country when it comes to energy. And it's just nonsense. I mean, it's basically your politicians are lying to you. And I think that's the biggest problem I have with all of this. They're just absolutely lying to the people.
And this
they can run a modern economy without natural gas and coal. It's not possible. And yet they voted to just eliminate them.
This is what drives me crazy. And I know it drives you crazy as well. And you said it earlier when you started your body of talk with us this morning. You said people don't focus on the issues. Now, but they do notice when the power company sends them an email and says, hey, you might want to put your thermostat down to 60 or 62 degrees. I was reading on a news website, and this was happening in central Wisconsin. And some of the responses were, I'm not going to put my heat down to 60 or 62 degrees because I'm paying for this service and I'm going to run my heat where I want to run my heat. And then as you go from there and you follow the rhetoric of the people that are replying, oh, you must be a conservative because you don't want to be part of the solution. And I just figure, is that where we are in the world right now? No, here's the thing. Democrat or Republican, if I pay for a service, you ought be able to provide me with that service. It's not up to me to, you know, to incumbent upon me to turn down what I need to do in my house, because you don't know if I have somebody sick there or whatever else, to tell me to turn this down because poor planning and bad policies that have led us to this.
Yeah, I mean, you know, mainly the blackouts, the rolling blackouts that they've been talking about is up in the northeast quadrant of the United States. But still, we've had that threat. You know, in fact, the Illinois Commerce Commission told these legislators before they voted.
Oh, I think we might have lost her. If we can get Jeannie, will call back. She's in a bad cell area. But, you know, I wanted to also talk to Jeannie about some of the Safety Act and the bills that are going on and that we're passing here in this state. I mean, it is ridiculous to me. And as soon as we get her back on, I'm going to ask her about this too, but I'll go over it right now. Do you know that there is a House bill? It's 3772. That House bill is, if your car gets stolen or carjacked, you are not going to be on the hook. If your car has been taken through a red light, if it's gone through tolls, and they've racked up an enormous amount of debt because they're driving your car and going through red lights, that you're not going to be on the hook for that anymore. Those are some of the things we have to do in this state. Those are some of the bills we have to write to protect us from some of the stuff that's going on because of the unbelievable crime problem that we have. They actually have to write this stuff into law. We have Jeannie back? I believe we do. Sorry about that, Jeannie. I guess we lost you.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about that, too.
Soon as we started talking about the power grid, boom, they cut you off. See how that works? It's the same thing that's going on with these tech companies. But you were saying.
Well, listen, it sounds like you're talking about some of the new bills that are coming into effect. I mean, just to solve problems that they've created themselves.
Right.
It's just amazing, but. You know, I don't know. Back to energy, though, I got to tell you, they're just doing idiotic problems. And you look at it in the infrastructure bills, too, that are coming through. They're basically solving state and local infrastructure problems on the back of federal taxpayers. And you see that in all the goodies that were handed out in that big $1.7 trillion bill. I mean, none of these things should federal taxpayers be paying for. They should be state and local problems, state and local problems that the local politicians have failed to solve from, and it all goes back to just bad policy from bad politicians. I mean, I don't know what people are going to do. I mean, how much do they want to be taxed for problems that others have created? That's exactly what we're looking at here.
I always thought when crime left Chicago, and don't get me wrong, I think it's a shame that people that live in the inner city of Chicago or some of Chicago's hardest hit neighborhoods have to deal with the crime they have to deal with. It's a small amount of people that do the damage. There's a lot of good people that live in inner city Chicago, Inglewood. I work in that neighborhood a lot. They just want to live, thrive, and survive. But I always thought that once some of this crime got to Naperville, once it got out to Wheaton and up into Highland Park, that maybe people would wake up and see what's going on. And it just drives me crazy to no end that we just continue to do the same thing. And we pull up to the gas pump and we complain about the prices. I mean, I was just traveling over the weekend, and I saw gas as low as $2.43 a gallon. But come now at the beginning of this year, our gas tax goes up, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, from to 43 cents per gallon, and then 45 cents by July, second only in price increase to California. Do people not know how this happens, Jeannie? How do you educate these people as to how this happens?
You know, I don't know.
Because
you even have Democrats. I mean, I don't know. You have Democrats that are moving out of the state, too, over policy issues. And they just won't admit it, that they voted for the people that put these policies in place. Look, you change out the politicians, you can change policies, and you can transform Illinois into a haven for businesses and families. It's just as simple as that. Indiana is kicking our butt when it comes to economic development. In even the industries that we want to do well in, even in electric vehicle manufacturing, we cannot save electrical vehicle manufacturers here in the state of Illinois. And, you know, we hand out all the goodies, the tax credits. We double down on the tax credits, which they just did. And still, you've got the Belvedere Stellantis plant saying, sorry, we're out of here and we're going to expand elsewhere. You know, I mean, it's just, it's all policy driven. This is not, it's not rocket science, honestly.
But you, and that's something that you and I, no matter what radio station I'm on, and whether it's the same thing when I'm on any radio station up and down the dial in Chicago, or if I'm on Fox News, it's the same thing. It's about the exodus of Chicago. It's about people leaving Illinois. And I hate to keep bringing it up, but I was recently down in Nashville, and to see what's going on outside of our state as far as infrastructure, new roads, highways, changes to the skyline are absolutely unbelievable. But now what you get, and I know this is, you've said this as well, people leave the state, or let's say they leave Chicago, they come to the suburbs. They leave the state and go to Kentucky, Indiana, wherever. Now they're bringing their voting ways with them, and that's making people absolutely crazy.
Yeah, you know, but there's plenty of room for improvement here in the state of Illinois. There's a lot, enough people that are, as long as we can wake them up and they change the way that they vote, these politicians, we can change Illinois. I mean, and that's the hope, right? That is the hope, that eventually these policies, you know, apparently, though, let me put it this way. People don't seem to be affected by their bad political decisions until the policies hit home. And that's really sad. We just, and that's why I actually started Breakthrough Ideas, is to connect the dots on policy so people make a more informed choices.
Breakthrough Ideas. Where can people find more information on your Breakthrough Ideas? Because as you know, I've been there. I like it. It's, you know, it's a think tank of like-minded people that can get things done in and around our area. You usually meet on Tuesday nights.
Well, we do a lot of, you know, activities that way and town halls, and we're going to do more this coming year. And, for example, we're going to do a town hall on just basically how to read a school finance report. People need to know what's in those things and how your money's being spent. So we're going to do a whole big town hall on energy, because I think it's a really important topic that affects everybody. And so you can connect with us on breakthrough-ideas.com on our website, and check us out. Listen to the podcast.
Always good informative stuff. Always good to talk to you, Jeannie. I always just kind of beat my head against the wall, because I don't know how or when we turn around here, but somewhere it's got to happen someday, don't you think?
Sooner rather than later, because a lot of people are making their decisions to exit the state, and it's too bad, because it's a great state with a lot of resources that are just being abused by the politicians.
And it drives me nuts.
Bankrupting people.
You know, and you can't just blame it on all the Democrats. I work with some people in Chicago that are good guys, but it's mainly the left that's driving me out of my mind, and soon it's going to be driving me out of my house and out of the state. But this is home, and I really, you know, I'm hesitant to leave, but what are you going to do? It costs a lot of money to stay here. Jeannie Ives, we will pay attention to your podcast. We will follow you on Breakthrough Ideas. We'll get everybody the proper website, verbiage, and everything else up on our socials here on WINDN and mine as well.
All right. Thank you so much for having me on.
Happy holidays. Always good to talk to you, and be good, okay?
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Jeannie Ives joining us this morning on the turnkey.com answer line. Did I get that right? Turnkey.pro answer line. Did I get that right?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. It's Ramblin' Ray Stevens. It's for Dan and Amy. This is AM 560, Chicago's Morning Answer.
Hear about the big stories of the day, then talk about them right here on Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
How you doing? Welcome into I believe it's Tuesday morning. Are you paying attention to this? I know this week is kind of messed up. I just know that I usually put my garbage out on Tuesday. It goes out tomorrow, because we have got to allow people a chance to catch up after the holiday. My name is Ray Stevens, Ramblin' Ray, in for Dan and Amy. You want to call this morning? 312-642-5600. That is our AM 560 answer morning phone lines. We're going to talk with Libby Emmons about this latest Twitter dump coming up just after 7 o'clock, and how the Biden and how the Trump administrations somehow used social media to get their points across. Now, we know from recent findings with Elon Musk that the left used this thing as it was the world's biggest yard sign for all things Democrat. But now we're finding that also Joe Biden and Trump wanted to tamp down some of the COVID and CDC, I guess, rhetoric is what you might say. We'll talk to Libby about that. And then I've been texting back and forth with Ted Dombrowski from Wire Points about the exodus. We touched with some of that with Jeannie Ives just here a moment ago. But Illinois, again, one of the biggest losers. 104,000 people fled the state last year. I think that makes us the third biggest loser. We'll talk to Ted about that this morning at 7:37. I am not in the dating pool. I am not married. I guess you would say it's a domestic partnership, so I can glom off her insurance. But, you know, I don't know if I'll ever go the marriage route again. I certainly don't want to be back out in the dating world. But there is a couple new dating terms you need to know going forward if you are dating, or maybe if you get blown off, and if you have kids, they might be going through some of this as well. Infladating. That means that giving the certain parameters of the economy that the Biden administration has provided for us. Infladating means you're going on less expensive dates because of inflation and the current economic environment. There's heat doming. Heat doming is a form of dating because you're dating somebody specifically for their household amenities, basically just to mooch off their, you know, air conditioning, their Wi-Fi, their pool. Now, I guess you could kind of say that maybe I'm doing that because I just said a second ago I'm in a domestic partnership so I can glom off her insurance. Maybe I'm heat doming and I don't even know it. But this is my favorite. And this goes along with the theme of, you know, recycling your Christmas trees and, you know, being good to the environment and driving that clean burning electric car that's so clean burning. Just here's the thing. If you are driving a clean burning electric car, don't go by a power plant this morning and see what's coming and being spewed into the air, because there's no such thing as a clean burning electric car. Echo dumping is dating by dating or not dating someone based on how environmentally friendly they are and how environmentally conscious they are on climate change and the environment. You know, that's one thing about my girl is we see eye to eye on just about everything. I call her little Laura Ingram, except she's a lot better looking. And she gets going on a tangent, and man, I have to tell her, I have to say, baby, turn off Fox News. I do this all day long. You're killing me. You're killing me, Smalls.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Back in my rock and roll radio days, I'd have taken the WIND AM 560 Answer van out to a Midway or O'Hare and offered people rides back to their destinations, because there is a lot of people sleeping on cots this morning at O'Hare, out at Midway, you name it. There is a little problem with Southwest Airlines. I'm sure they don't like to hear that, but man, oh man, people are stranded all over the place, and it seems to be that Southwest has canceled more flights amid a major meltdown. Over 2,600 flights canceled yesterday alone. Over 14,000 flights canceled in the last couple days. Man, if you're in and out of Chicago, and we all know how busy these airports are, good luck to you. It will be a character builder for sure. Coming up this morning at 7:37, Ted Dombrowski from Wire Points is going to talk to us about, again, things we know. The exodus from Chicagoland and Illinois. People are leaving this state in droves. We weren't at the top of the list, but boy, oh boy, we were really close. My name is Ray Stevens, Ramblin' Ray, in for Dan and Amy. I'll be here through Thursday, and I'm also told that John Anthony is going to be in for Sean this afternoon, so stay with us here on AM 560, The Answer. It just seems like every time we turn around and we look at what's going on with social media, you know, they're telling us to stay off of TikTok because it's the communists, and it's no good, it's bad. And I wonder now if our lawmakers have been telling us to stay off of TikTok because they can't control it. It's food for thought, certainly. With that in mind, I say good morning to Libby Emmons. You can find her at Libby Emmons, editor-in-chief for the Post-Millennial. Good morning, Libby. How are you?
I'm good, Ray. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You know, I just, as we dive more and more into what we see that's going on at Twitter, I seem to get a little bit more concerned. I used to worry that I didn't have that blue check mark next to my name. Now I wonder if it's worth anything. Tell us about the Twitter dump yesterday that happened with both the Biden and Trump administration in regards to COVID information and the suppression of it.
Yeah, I have been finding these Twitter file drops to be absolutely fascinating to see the inner workings of this huge tech company and majorly influential social media company. And we saw yesterday in the latest drop that the Trump administration was pressuring Twitter to suppress some information. The information that was revealed that he was trying to suppress was about grocery store runs at the beginning of the pandemic. I'm sure we all remember back in early spring 2020 when everybody was worried that they weren't going to get enough toilet paper or, you know, dry goods or things like this. And there was a lot of talk about runs on grocery stores. And the Trump administration was trying to mitigate that and saying to Twitter, don't tell anybody this is happening, you know. So that's kind of interesting. But, you know, what I think was really telling in the drop was that when the Biden administration came in, they started really cracking down with social media companies on information about vaccines and vaccine efficacy for COVID. And we know that the Biden administration has been huge pushers of this vaccine to the exclusion pretty much of any other treatment or, treatment or mitigation measure primarily. So it's fascinating.
And what they did was they tried to tamp, because certainly there were people on the other side of this debate saying, you know, whether the effects of the shots were, if they worked. Mm-hmm. There were other doctors saying, hey, man, you know, we know that this has come up quick. We know that the variants of COVID, they change. There's no way we're going to be able to do this. But they really tried to suppress anybody that had that attitude towards the vaccines.
Yes, they did. And they were successful. They were suppressing Alex Berenson, who was very outspoken about the vaccines. They were also suppressing and banning doctors from Harvard Medical School who were saying things like, hey, the vaccines are perfectly fine for at-risk groups. Kids don't need them. Kids are pretty much fine dealing with COVID. People who are not at high risk of COVID complications probably don't need this vaccine. And those voices were getting suppressed as well. And in fact, they were having, you know, weekly meetings. They were supplying lists of accounts that they thought should be banned. Former FBI Director Jim Baker, who was working at Twitter, reported to Twitter about a tweet that Trump put out after he was released from Walter Reed when he had COVID in what I think it was fall 2020. He had COVID and he got out of the hospital. You know, he had a bunch of treatments and he said, hey, don't be afraid of COVID. And Jim Baker came back to Twitter Trust and Safety and said, how is saying don't be afraid of COVID not a violation of our policies? And, you know, the reply back from Trust and Safety at that time was optimism is not a violation of our policies. You know, that's not one we can take down. But it was, I'm pretty sure it was slapped with a warning label, you know. And Trump was an incredibly optimistic president, I always thought, you know, telling everybody, like, hey, it's going to be all right. But, yeah.
I get it. I get it. You know, when you don't want to scare people. And then, of course, you know, we could look back at what we went through. And, I mean, my goodness, the mm-hmm. things that we did. You know, just what you said when you started talking to us this morning, we were out. I wasn't, but we were stockpiling toilet paper, and I thought to myself, what kind of nation have we become if we're that? but then Libby, and we're talking to Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Libby, I see what our nation acts like when there's a snowstorm on the way, when it gets a little bit cold, and it's like we overreact, and it's been only 2 years since the onset of COVID, and we already forgot everything that we've gone through and came through and some of the things we were told to do and the nonsense. And to know that big tech played a part in that, and then you look at the Twitter dump right after Elon Musk started releasing files about how the Democrats used it as their basically big campaign sign in everybody's mm-hmm. yard. It really is. It's troubling. Now, I want to ask you, because you know about this stuff. Do you believe that because there's been a lot of consternation, if you will, from the U.S. government about TikTok. And I said it as we kind of started to introduce you here this morning. But do you think there's a concern that since the U.S. government can't control TikTok, that that's why they want to downplay it and kind of get rid of it? And there's even been talks about banning it.
You know, that's an interesting point. And I do think that perhaps that has something to do with it, though the Biden administration certainly loves TikTok influencers and invites them to the White House all the time to tell them their ideas about policy for some reason. But the other issue with TikTok is that it likely does have a backdoor right into the CCP. Most companies in China, I'm saying most because I don't know every company in China, but you do have to pay your dues to the CCP, and there's a lot of interconnection there. So I do think that the concern is not necessarily that American government can't control it, but that the Chinese government certainly can. It's also been revealed that the algorithms on TikTok are specifically geared almost to the destruction of American youth. In China, if you're a kid on TikTok, you're going to see videos about pandas and math games. And in the U.S., if you're a kid on TikTok, you're going to see all kinds of crazy people like, you know, doing weird TikTok dances things like that. So there's definitely a concern that, the CCP is using TikTok for the destruction of Americans.
You know, it certainly is amazing because, you know, when it's done, I do a lot of, I do this thing called doing good in the hood. So every now and then if I'm in a neighborhood in Chicago and I'm doing a charity event, man, you can use social media to really move people to action. So when it's used and it's used in the right vein, it can be very, very helpful. But it's just amazing to me that I've got a huge following on Facebook, and I can post something up on Facebook and get a million views. I can post the same thing on TikTok and nobody watches it. Is that just because I'm old and not relevant, or is that just the audience or the algorithms?
I think it probably has a lot to do with audience and algorithms. That would be my guess. My son, who is 12, hates TikTok for some reason. I think it's because all the girls at his school are obsessed with it. And so he's like, I hate it.
But
I think it has a lot to do with that. Like when I go on TikTok, all I see are a bunch of toddlers doing dances. I don't know why that's what I see. I pretty much only have the account to do research, and this is the kind of research TikTok wants me to have. The algorithms play a huge role in it. And I think people can see even recently their Twitter feeds are different now that that things are changing over there. But all of the social media companies are using AI and machine learning to make these changes. And in fact, the Twitter files from yesterday show that a lot of the account suppression having to do with COVID vaccines was done by AI that had been trained to recognize certain words and ban them, and that also it was done by a lot of third-party contractors working in the Philippines who had basically decision trees to help them figure out what accounts should be filtered and censored and which ones shouldn't. So it also does seem that the oversight of how this was done was relegated to people or machines that had absolutely no concern for Americans' free speech.
Well, you know, it certainly is so far. You know, we just got done with the holidays. You sit around, everybody's on their phone. It's addicting. And they pull you in, and it is absolutely amazing. Let me ask you this, Libby. This is Libby Emmons visiting WIND this morning from the Post Millennial. Where do you think this Twitter thing ends since Elon has come in? I mean, do you think there's going to be more about voter suppression, more about COVID news, and how do we fix it, and do you think it can't be fixed?
You know, I go back and forth on this myself. I have loved seeing the inner workings of this hugely influential company, where so many people go to, you know, speak their minds online. I really think Twitter is such a cool idea. I love seeing that. But where is it going? I have no idea what could be coming next. I do hope that Twitter maintains its integrity and that it continues to be a place where we can share ideas and perhaps share more ideas. I kind of hope that as it opens up more, the liberals who are so used to
having their every whim and desire for who should get banned enacted by Twitter, that won't continue to happen. And perhaps they'll realize that open dialogue and conversation is a lot better for discourse and democracy than enforcing their will on the rest of us. You know, I also kind of hope Trump comes back and tweets again. Those were a lot of fun.
Me too. You know, and I've always said if he would have just tamped down on the tweeting on those thumbs a little bit, it would have been so much easier for him, as he went along in his presidency. But I think that speaks to the power and the ridiculousness of Twitter to be able to ban a sitting U.S. president because you don't like what he says. That's the epitome of free speech.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty wild, too, and quite an overreach. And after they did that, it turns out, even within Twitter, and this was revealed in an earlier drop of files, even within Twitter, what happened was that opened the door for people who had all kinds of other ideological ideas. One employee was saying, I know that we didn't used to be the arbiter of truth, and I respect and understand that, but I'm really glad that now we can start banning accounts that provide all this other, what she called or he called, misinformation that was clearly defined by their own bias. And that's something that, we're going to continue to see. We see people talking about election misinformation, and we see people talking about COVID misinformation, education misinformation, all of this stuff. And it's really become a catchword for things that I disagree with that I can't counter based on factual information. So I have to, use this made-up word to tell everyone that it's fake, just on its surface, without addressing.
Joining us from the post-millennial, believe it or not, you can follow her on Twitter, at Libby Emmons. It was good to visit with you this morning. We'll see where it all goes.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Libby Emmons on WIND AM 560, The Answer, and she joined us on the turnkey.pro answer line. Coming up, you're leaving Illinois in the state truck, which is the U-Haul van. We'll tell you how many people left and how bad it's going to get. Coming up at 7:37 this morning on WIND.
It's news, opinion, insight. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560. The Answer.
Well, you made it to a Tuesday morning. She's a little cold outside, but it's getting better. It's getting better all the time. High near 26 today, 12 degrees right now. 50s by the end of the week. Give you a chance to get some of the salt off the car. Although I'm troubled by the Department of Streets and Sanitation, I guess it would be, out where I live. I live in Aurora, right on the edge of Batavia. Beautiful little neighborhood called Savannah. And I haven't seen one snowplow come through the neighborhood, which is cool because I've got my snowmobiles ready to go. I collect vintage snowmobiles and race them, and I've got some new stuff too, but I've got all my old stuff home. And the damn thing wouldn't start, so I couldn't go out and drive the neighbors crazy. I will be trying that later on today, once I pour a little bit more NyQuil down my throat to try to get this cold to go away. Maybe I should just go in and take it easy, but not one snowplow down my street in Aurora. We'll see if any of the folks that work the street department in Aurora are listening to The Morning Answer with Dan and Amy. My name's Ray Stevens. I don't know if you've paid attention to the quarterback situation in New York, at the New York Jets. I mean, we've got enough problems of our own when it comes to football, and I'm not a big user of the NFL. I'm like a Friday night football fan. I like watching high school football. It's the love of the game. The area football we get to watch around here is unbelievable. The level of skill these high school kids have. I know that Amy J and I talk about this all the time. My kid played at Batavia, went on to play a little at Wisconsin, but the NFL has kind of left me lonely, and I think it's partially because of their stop hate banners on the back of their helmets and the stop hate rings around the goalposts at the Soldier Field. I'm thinking, wow, that's something. They're virtue signaling stop hate. Yet two blocks away from here, and this happened on Thursday, a guy got the crap beaten out of him and his van was stolen. Maybe we need to put all the stop hate signs on every stop and go light and at every intersection in this town. But Zach Wilson is the quarterback out in New York at the Jets. And you may remember this guy for having a little bit of a tete-a-tete with his mom's really, really hot friend. And I say that hot in a lovingly way. She's a beautiful woman. But he was dating his mom's friend. And she's on her Instagram, and she is making life rough for him. And Mrs. Wilson, are you going to get off Twitter and Instagram for the sake of your kid?
People out there that think I embarrass my son. Has he asked me to take down my social media? He has before. And he says, Mom, if it's about money, I'll give you money. He says, Zach, I don't need your money. He says, Mom, you don't embarrass me, but I can't stand these people treating my mom like crap. And I said, Zach, you know what? If you saw the messages that I receive every single day.
Now listen to this.
From women that started exercising again.
Mm-hmm.
Women that are learning to cook
right.
for the first time ever. Women that are changing their relationships
because
with
of
their
you.
Husbands.
Right.
Women that tell me that the only reason they're getting out of bed is because of my Instagram.
The only reason these women are getting out of their bed in the morning is because of Mrs. Wilson's Instagram. This lady is straight on crazy. Moms, dads, try not to embarrass your kids. It'll work out better for you in the long run.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
If that's moving up, then I'm moving out.
All right, I got that. Well played. I believe off the Glass Houses record, I'm not sure. Billy Joel. Billy Joel on AM 560, The Answer. Right. In for Dan and Amy playing all the hits this morning. The Illinois State truck is the U-Haul van. There's no doubt about it. New 2022 census data. Illinois' population down another 104,000. The third worst drop. I would imagine that New Jersey or maybe California is ahead of us. I know California is, but why leave it up to a guest when we can bring in Ted Dabrowski, president at Wire Points Incorporated. Ted, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Ray. Thanks for having me on. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Merry Christmas to you. So what leads Illinois as far as states that are seeing the most? I know California's got to be on there, right?
Yeah, California and New York, right? So two big, big blue states, and Illinois is the other big blue state. So the three all lost over 100,000 people. And, you know, that's a huge contrast to two big red states, Florida and Texas, which gained over 400,000 people. So, you know, they're growing massively. They're attracting people from everywhere, including Illinois. And the big blue states are losing people. So it's a bit of a sign of which policies are winning out.
Where do you see people from Illinois, per se, leaving and going to? Is it the states we would imagine? I mean, I know a lot of people that I talk to, and it certainly seems like Tennessee seems to be an area for, it's like a safe haven for people from Illinois. But by and large, is there any one area that favors one over the other?
Well, you know, Florida's the big winner for Illinois people, number one. And, you know, this new data from the census, which just came out last week, so it's kind of a bad way to end bad news in Illinois, right? Mm-hmm. The census comes out and says more people are fleeing Illinois. But that Florida's the big winner. But, you know, Indiana gets a lot of people net from Illinois, and the same thing for Wisconsin. So those states attract people. You know, people always like to blame the weather for why Illinois is shrinking. You know, you'll hear Pritzker and others kind of just, you know, ignore this, like if it's just a weather thing. But, you know, you've got North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Yep.
They all grew population, right? And we didn't. And you know, all of our neighboring states, except for Michigan. Michigan's special because of the messes they have. All of our neighbors grew their populations, and that was the same thing over the last 10 years when there's the big decennial count. They all grew. We were one of just three states to shrink. So we've got a real sickness in Illinois, and yet our politicians continue to ignore it.
It really is amazing. You said it right there. Our politicians continue to ignore it. They keep on with the policies that they keep keeping on with and bashing down our throats. This is nothing new, though. I mean, how many years in a row do we look at a population loss? And it's been about, this is not an alarming number to me. Actually, I thought it would be higher. But you're talking about years and years of exodus now.
Well, this is a record number for losses. I mean, think about it. And, you know, this is like almost wiping out the entire city of Springfield in one shot. And we shrunk, you know, over the last decade. We lost about 18,000 people, which isn't a big number. But when you consider that over the last decade, Texas grew by 4 million people, you realize how we're falling behind. And that has all kinds of implications for investment, you know, growth, representation in Congress. So this is becoming a really big deal because we used to have 27 representation in Congress. Now we're down to 17, and it's going to shrink even more while Florida and Texas are growing in representation. So, you know, the bad news is Illinois is shrinking, but I guess the good news is it's failed policies. are losing losing any kind of weight in overall U.S. policy.
Ted Dabrowski is here from Wire Points Incorporated. Ted, I guess the other thing, too, is if you look at major corporations, and a lot of them are fleeing Chicago and the state as well, but let's focus on Chicago. Crime is a major reason why CEOs, and, you know, the CEO of McDonald's talked about this to some point in the summer and then at the end of the year. It's hard to get people to want to come work in a city where there's so much crime, and people like to sweep it under the rug and act like it's not going on, but you can't deny the fact that people are leaving in droves, corporations as well.
Yeah, you know, people, I don't think people think like in policies when they move out of Illinois, they're not saying, well, you know, this policy's too, you know, they're just seeing what happens. Either their checkbook is too small, right? Or they're scared, or their properties are going down in value. And you know, crime, you just mentioned crime. You know, Lightfoot and others would love to ignore what's happening. But, you know, when you look at violent crimes in Illinois, sorry, in Chicago, they're up 41% over last year. You know, you would think that we would start to get back to some normalcy after the George Floyd incident gets away from further and further away from us. COVID is gone. And yet you got this 100% increase, a doubling in motor vehicle thefts in this year compared to last year. You know, overall thefts are up by half. So things are still bad here. And overall, 41% increase in violent crimes. It's not good. And, you know, and people know it and they feel it.
We're writing a bill into law in the state, and I forget the HB number that's on it. I know it's in the 37 range. There's a House bill that talks about how a vehicle owner is protected should his car get stolen, his or her car get stolen, and run red lights and accrue fines. They're not going to be held accountable for that if their vehicle gets carjacked in Illinois. When you have to write a bill like that into law, I mean, that's when you have to understand you have a problem here that's systemic and it's not going away. I mean, that kind of stuff is just ridiculous. Yet we just we keep doing the same thing over and over again. It's the absolute definition of insanity.
Yeah, instead of solving the actual problem, like it was just to stop thefts, you know, we're letting out, I guess we're going to call the Safety Act, kind of catch and release, where you catch people, there's no way to hold them, so you just put them back out and they redo crimes. I mean, look at this. And this is a phenomenal number. We've had 20,000 motor vehicle thefts in 2022 alone in Chicago. 20,000. And right now the rate is about 100 a day. So this is why they're having to pass that stupid law, is because so many cars are being stolen and carjacked that, you know, people are getting ticked off, that they're getting tickets and red lights and all that. And when they don't even get to have their car, they're not even possessing their car. So that's part of the insanity of Illinois right now.
You know, where did J.B. Prisker come up with his number? His math seems a little bit fuzzy, because I know that some point last year in the fall, he said only 18,000 people had left the state, I believe, in the year. And that was way off. And of course, you know, nobody's going to hold him accountable to speaking on those numbers. But where did he come up with a number like that?
Well, yeah, so there's a lot of controversy a year ago or so where the census, the U.S. Census, had said that Illinois was going to lose over 200,000 people. And then when they did their count, their big decennial every 10-year count, they ended up with only 18,000 down for the whole decade. And so, you know, a lot of that was that a lot of money was spent on trying to find people. You know, they spent a lot of money to do the count in 2020 versus 2010, so they may have just found more people. But Pritzker, you know, denies the fact that Illinois is in a really bad spot when it comes to losing people. He tries to poo-poo on the numbers. You know, last year we lost about 100,000. Now we lost another 104,000. You know, the question is going to be when does the mainstream media pick this up and put him to task on it? Because he sure is getting away with having policies that are, you know, continue to scare people away. Now, this has all been happening before he came along, but he certainly is, I think, making it worse with the Safety Act and a lot of the taxation. The gas tax is about to go up again. You know, he's had a lot of failed policies, and we're seeing the brunt of that hit with people leaving.
Yeah, food tax comes back, I believe, in July. Gas tax goes up. If I'm not mistaken, we are the second highest gas tax state, next, of course, California. But we just keep, you know, we keep doing the same thing over and over again. It'll be 45 cents a gallon by midsummer, which we will be taxed on a gallon of gas. And, of course, you know, we've got to fund pensions and fix everything that's been broken in the state forever and ever and ever. I guess I just don't see how it gets better. I had Jeannie Ives on earlier today, and we were talking about this state
the amount of crime that goes on, and then people that are leaving, the companies that are leaving, yet we still overwhelmingly vote Democrat for the same people that you know, create these policies and want you to think everything is fine and dandy when it's not. I just don't know when people wake up, and I know you don't have a crystal ball for that either.
Well, I don't, Ray, and you know, part of the big problem we talked about it on this show is that things were starting to the reality was starting to hit Illinois right before COVID came along, because you know Pritzker and others, they were running out of money to fund all these things, because you know the only way this works is the only way you can keep handing out more money on the food stamps and the Medicaid and all that is if you can get money from somewhere else and pass it around and keep buying votes. And so before COVID, things were getting really rough. Well, then COVID comes along, and you know it gave the federal government the great excuse to hand out trillions of dollars. Illinois got overall in the private and public sectors $200 billion. And so that's hidden for a while, all the problems, right, as Pritzker and Lightfoot have been able to just hand out checks, right? Here's some money for all kinds of programs. Well, at some point that money runs out. The funny money is going to run out in the next year. And we're going to get back to reality. And then people might start to have to think about, well, what exactly am I voting for? But you know, right now we're still in that period of where Pritzker can hand out money and quote, reduce gas taxes and quote, reduce food sales taxes on food, act like he's doing good things. When in fact, things are headed the wrong way. And we can see that in the out-migration. You know, the out-migration numbers are the ultimate voting with your feet, right?
Yeah.
That's the ultimate vote, and we're losing probably a lot of conservatives because of that.
He's the big guy, the president of Wire Points Incorporated. It's a Ted Dabrowski joining us here on WIND. Ted, let me just take you to the city for a second. I was a fan, and I am a fan of Ray Lopez. I think that he's a good guy. He's common sense. I think sometimes that costs him in the city because people don't want to be told the truth in Chicago, and that's a problem. So now it looks like it's Chuy Garcia or it's Lori Lightfoot's race to lose, and that's a shame because I think Paul Vallis would do a really, really, really good job. I like Paul. But how in the world can Mayor Lori Lightfoot take some of these campaign commercials she's running with her with tears in her eyes, talking about her mom and dad, after running the city the way that she has, and give this to us with a straight face? It just, I just don't get it. Do they actually think, and I digress because obviously, Chicago and Illinois voters aren't very educated, and we're not that smart because we keep doing the same thing. But, I mean, she's got a real shot to be reelected.
Well, she does. There's a new poll that came out that put her in third place, with Garcia 1, Vallis at 2, and her at 3rd. So maybe the reality is starting to show up a little bit. But you're right. You know, people don't know what to do in Chicago because, you know, they hear the whole equity thing over and over again. You know, she's been promoting that. People don't understand how bad that equity message truly is, and they buy it. But when you look at it, you know, there's it's been destructive. Her equity message, same thing with Preckwinkle, has been destructive because they don't actually fix problems. They don't fix problems for the lowest of income. So the question is going to be, can a guy like Vallis just get into the runoff with a Garcia? I think people are ticked off with Lightfoot, and some of the polling is going to show that. Now, the question is going to be, you know, what happens when push comes to shove? I'll tell you the big thing for me, Ray, is where is the corporate elite? You know, they're the ones that have money, they have influence, and, you know, they certainly supported Lightfoot in the past. You know, they should dump her. The question is, what will they do, and will they do anything, or are they too scared to act?
And how much corporate elite is left, really? You know, I mean, you look at some of the people, going back to people that have left our state, you know, Ken Griffin comes to mind. I mean, here's another guy that has a lot of wealth, a lot of wealth and people working in Chicago. He's gone to Florida.
Yeah, you know, he handed out like $300 million in money to all kinds of different groups, including the museums and all that and the police. You know, I think this is why McDonald's, you mentioned the McDonald's CEO, his previous comments about crime, I really was happy that he stepped up and spoke up. I'm not sure, you know, how much he got beat down for it. But it's that kind of discussion that people will listen if, you know, if a place like McDonald's left Illinois or threatened to leave Illinois, that's huge, or left Chicago. They've got to speak up, and there's a whole bunch of them, Ray. I mean, you know, Chicago's still the massive great city underneath all this crime and all this mess and all this wokeness is a fantastic, amazing city. And if the leaders would speak up and say, we don't want any more of this, you know, crazy equity talk. We want to get back to merit and competence and transparency and, you know, no corruption. We want that kind of stuff. But, you know, they don't speak up. And it's a real disappointment because it's theirs. You know, they can make the difference right now.
You know, as soon as we have a crazy Kaplan's firework outlet in on Michigan Avenue or on State Street or at Watertower Place, then maybe people, when there's a Spirit Halloween operating out of the Hancock building, I think maybe people will wake up, but we'll have to wait and see. Ted, always good to talk to you. Ted Dabrowski, he is the president of Wire Points Incorporated. We'll have you on again, sir. Thanks for the visit.
Thanks, Ray.
All right, and Ted joined us on the turnkey.pro answer line on WIND AM 560.
Listen to podcasts of Dan and Amy from the AM 560 mobile app. Download it today at 560theanswer.com/mobile.
I'm slowly finding out I have to recapture my va-va-boom. I've been throwing down all this concoction in this. Have you ever seen the movie Flight, where Denzel Washington is the drunk pilot, and in order to get him out of his drunken stupor, they make this cocktail, they make this his guy in that was whip, and they make this concoction to get him back on his feet? Well, that's what my girlfriend's been doing for me, and I think if I took some Balance of Nature or something and mixed it into my coffee, I'd be better. But she's got me taking all sorts of vitamins and some kind of a charcoal supplement to get this crud out of my body. And my God, yesterday I was hardly up and walking. Today I'm moving. I should pay closer attention to her.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. This is Chicago's Morning Answer with Dan Proft and Amy Jacobson on AM 560, The Answer.
Well, I know one is golfing. The other may be coaching or skiing. I don't know where geographically she is, but I know that it's always nice if you're on this morning show schedule to take a couple days off, and that's where the foster fill-in comes in. That would be me, Raimundo Sanchez. My name is Ray Stevens. You can follow me on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all of that stuff. Ramblin' Ray or Ray Stevens, you can find me. 312-642-5600 is the call-in line. This morning and every morning here at WIND. If you haven't been paying attention, there's been some news going on, even when we're not paying as close of attention as we should. Another big Twitter dump. Biden administration pressured CDC and COVID guidance on vaccines. So if you were a doctor or a physician or a nurse that had opposing views to what the CDC guidelines were, some of these big media, some of these big tech companies, they actually acted like another arm of the government, and they did what the Biden administration told them to. And notice how I say the administration, because you know Joe's not telling them anything. But if there was an opposing view to the booster, to the booster, to the booster shot, they wanted any of that opposition tamped down. You're going to learn more about this as we get on through the week here, because I have a feeling with Elon at the helm there of the Twitter company, more of this stuff is going to be coming into the forefront. Have you noticed lately? 10 years ago, you couldn't drive across the country without seeing an Old Country Buffet in every town along the way. It was mostly small town USA, but they've kind of disappeared. And you ask why? Well, let's bring in Oliver Bateman. Oliver Bateman, he's a historian, he's a journalist based out of Pittsburgh. He blogs, he does it all. We'll get you all his details in just a couple seconds. But, Oliver, good morning. Welcome back to AM560, The Answer.
Hey, good morning, Ray. How you doing?
Buddy, I'm doing just fine. Where has our Chinese buffet gone?
Well, for the past 3 years, a lot of our buffets have been in shutdown mode. I mean, the past 12 months, we've seen some reopening. But if you expected to see hundreds of Old Country buffets across the landscape, well, they're all gone. They went through Chapter 11. I started working. My first job years and years ago was at the Golden Corral. I worked there for 4 years all through college. They've had to, you know, close about half their restaurants. They're down to around 300 from over 500. The buffet was hit hard by COVID restrictions and shutdowns. And it used to be a place across the country where you could get a square meal at a fair price.
You know, you talk about a square meal at a fair price, and I'm a guy that I run on a pretty healthy level. I like to take care of myself. Not everybody does, and I don't. You do your own thing. But the other day, I did a morning show in Kansas from the same studio I'm in now. I went and I did some business and some shopping. I was tired. I was hungry. I hadn't eaten yet. It was 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So I went under the Golden Arches and I pulled up to the drive-thru and I said, "Hey, why don't I get the fish fillet? That might be the healthiest option for me on this menu board here." I got a coffee to replace pop because I don't drink any of that soda crap. That thing cost me over $11.
Yeah, prices are through the roof at all these places now. I mean, the restaurants in general have been hit hard by supply chain issues, by having to reconfigure after the COVID, rising food costs. I mean, diesel $6 a gallon, yeah. So all that's getting passed on to you, the consumer.
You got to pay the kid that doesn't want to work there $25 an hour because you can't get anybody else to work. Let me ask you this: as a kid, when you were talking about your college job there at the at the Old Country Buffet, did you ever, was it part of the deal that you got to eat that food as part of your compensation package?
It absolutely was, Ray. Like, that was what kept me at the buffet for that whole time. Like, I didn't need to spend $1,000 a year on a college meal pass or whatever, because 5 days a week I was getting some kind of meal, as much as I could eat. And when you are, you know, somebody that is and has been for 20 plus years a powerlifter, that is a great, great deal, eating for free. And we had steak on the buffet. We had all those things on the buffet. So, yeah, it was a great way. I mean, in addition to making $10 an hour, it was a great way back then to get all your calories.
Oliver Bateman is with us right now. You can find him at Mush-Club.US. You talk about being a power lifter. I sent a kid to college. He's a football player in the University of Wisconsin system. And it's important because these meal plans and packages at colleges aren't very cheap. It costs enough to send your kids there in the first place. And you know, every college kid has a deal, a place where they go. This kid was going in back of the Papa John's Pizza. He knew that they threw out the fresh pizzas that they didn't sell at 11 o'clock. Him and his buddies would jump in the dumpster and hand pizzas out to each other.
Yeah, that was always that's always been a thing. Like, when my dad played football at West Virginia University in the late 50s, he and his roommate always knew when the morning bakery deliveries were happening around town.
Yeah.
So he and his roommate Bob Fletcher would go and just steal them.
Well, now, was it stealing, or was it just, I mean, they were just going to junk them anyway, right?
No, in some cases they're being put out fresh. So these guys, you know, 50s, they're pulling pranks. They're going and grabbing. They needed calories. They might have been grabbing stuff after too, but they were getting up early in the morning to grab those fresh rolls and so on.
You know, as we talk about this, and we're talking with Oliver Bateman, he's talking about the disappearance of a major U.S. icon, that is the buffet, as we talk about it. I don't know the last time I was at a buffet. And then I'd heard about these Cece's pizza buffets, but, you know, we're in Chicago, for goodness sake. If you're in Chicagoland, you don't go eat at a Cece's pizza buffet. But if you're on the road and you see one, you know what they say, even bad pizza's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good. But I'd never ate at one, and they're seeing a decline as well, correct?
They have seen a terrible decline, and they used to be, I mean, I lived in Chicago for a couple of years in my mid-20s, and yeah, there's no comparison to like Lou Malnati's or anything like
None.
That.
Zero.
But back in the day, in the early 2000s, you could, for $3 or $4, get all the pizza you could eat. It wasn't great pizza, and they expanded around the United States. They got into the hundreds of franchises, and they have seen an enormous decline since COVID. And they're actually focusing more on things like, just like the Golden Corral is, another buffet chain. They're focusing more on takeout these days, and they're focusing on Uber Eats and Pickup and Grubhub and these sorts of things to try to offset the decline, because people – They've come back, but they haven't come back in the numbers that they were originally going there. And I mean, it's been a tough loss for the chain. But yeah, the only real buffet chain that's growing in the United States right now is based out of Iowa. There's about 200 of them, and it's called Pizza Ranch. It is a pizza buffet. They're expanding really, really slowly. They're a big faith-based business. You know, they're everything is real tight with that organization, and they are actually growing. So you might see pizza ranches in the Chicagoland area in the coming 3 to 5 years.
Well, it's good that they're faith-based, because sometimes you have to offer up a prayer if you're going to eat at a place like that.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
You know, did you guys look into the buffets, say, out in Vegas? I mean, I know that in Vegas and some of your gaming communities, the buffet was a big thing. Those are still available, aren't they?
They are still available, and according to, I was reading an Eater magazine article the other week, some of them come back in a big way. So like the buffet at Wynn is still doing a great job. The buffet at Circus is still doing a great job. They're still a big part of the buffets at those hotels. They were also able, just because of how those places are set up, to reopen with sort of the tightest safety requirements. They were able to put a lot of COVID protocols in place, and they had more money to burn than your typical franchise operator of an Old Country Buffet or Golden Corral or just a single family that's running a Chinese restaurant. They were able to do that sort of stuff.
Pieces of America just getting shipped away. I will tell you this. We're talking with Oliver Bateman here on AM 560, The Answer. I had a chance to do a little pre-holiday travel with my beautiful girl, and we stopped for fuel at a Stuckey's, and I hadn't seen a Stuckey's in forever, and I said, we've got to stop here, and we've got to get a pecan roll. She didn't know the hell I was talking about, because she's considerably younger than I am, but I went in there, I found a Stuckey's, and actually had a pecan roll, if you can believe it.
I guess they're still around, but yeah, world famous pecan rolls at Stuckey's. If you see one on the road,
stop.
Still there.
Stop.
Yeah.
The gas was cheap, and I got a pecan roll, for God's sakes. Where can people find you, Oliver?
They can find me at oliverbateman.com, at Mustache Club US, like you said, on the Twitter. I'm all over the place. Go to those two things. You'll find where I'm writing and doing all that stuff.
How much iron are you going to move around today?
Oh, it's a big day. You know, it's going to be a bench press day, so we'll see. We'll do some sets with 315 pounds.
I've got a kid that is an absolute beast. And he was at the his gym on Christmas Eve. No, it was Christmas Eve. And I'm like, buddy, when are you gonna get over here? We have to celebrate Christmas Eve. And he's like, they're kicking me out of the gym because it's 5 o'clock. They're supposed to be open 24/7, 365. He wants to sue them because he didn't get his 3 hours of workout time in.
That's not no truth in advertising there on the 24/7 fitness. That's commitment, though.
Yeah, these people would like to go home to their family, a little heathen. All right, buddy, it's good to talk to you, man. I appreciate your expertise on the disappearance of another great American tradition. We're just becoming a weak nation. Oliver Bateman, you can find him. You can find him right here. Let me get it up for you. It is at Mustache, just the way you'd spell Mustache Club U.S. Buddy, good to talk to you again on AM 560.
Right. Thanks for having me on.
All right, buddy. Good luck lifting it. And he joined us on the Turnkey.pro answer line on WIND AM 560. Ray Ray in for Dan and Amy.
The more you listen, the more you'll know. This is Chicago's Morning Answer.
Morning Answer
on AM 560. The Answer.
Sing it, Reba. Man, I feel like I'm back in my old country music days, but this is Representative-elect George Santos from New York. He lied, and oh my gosh, the Democrats are going crazy. Representative Swalwell wants him gone. They don't want him around. They don't want him to take his seat, but he said, hey, I just lied about a couple things. One, he didn't graduate college. He never worked on Wall Street. He said that his grandparents escaped persecution in the Holocaust, but they didn't. And he also says, I didn't say I was Jewish. I said I was Jew-ish, meaning I was a little bit Jewish, not all Jewish. He's in a little hot water, and obviously Republicans are fighting back this morning, and people on the right are saying, yeah, where's Nancy Pelosi's husband's attacker? Where's Paul's attacker? That's immediately what will happen. This stuff goes on all the time. You know, you lie a little bit, they're going to catch you. I always tell my kid, I'm like, hon, I call my son, honey. I think it drives him crazy because his kid's an absolute beast. He's a mixed martial artist fighter. I was talking with our earlier guest about lifting weights and stuff like this. This kid spends hours in the gym. And we always end a conversation with, all right, honey, I love you, buddy. And if he was here with me today, he'd be looking across the street over to the Bussy Woods, wondering if those elk are available to be taken with a Hoyt bow and arrow. Now, listen to me when I say this so the authorities don't get alarmed. I said, if he was here. You can't hunt in Bussy Woods. I'm quite sure and I'm quite honest. But, boy, those things are big over there. I'm not saying I wouldn't want to. It's Ray Stevens in for Dan and Amy. You can follow me on the social medias if I haven't been shadow banned again on Twitter, Ramblin' Ray, Instagram, Facebook, Ramblin' Ray, and my website is RamblinRayStevens.com. You can see a lot of cool stuff there. Interviews with Tucker Carlson and the like at RamblinRayStevens.com. Still thousands and thousands and thousands of Southwest flights being diverted, being canceled. Now pilots are speaking out saying that it's just an outdated software system. That's what's going on. There's an outdated software system. That's why all these flights are canceled, many, 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 many more than any other airline. Had a text message saying, yeah, we got stuck in Chicago. We just decided to drive back to Minnesota. It wasn't worth the wait. That's if you can find a rental car. But for some reason, Southwest is just having so many more delays and cancellations than everybody else, and that's kind of a shame because for the longest time, Southwest was my go-to. Man, before they expanded Midway and before they turned it into the Naperville South, you could fly. You could park your car and fly down to Florida to go to a Tampa Bears game. You could be in and out of there, and then they ruined it. And now those flights are being canceled. Hopefully sometime this week we're going to talk with the former mayoral candidate, Alderman Ray Ray Lopez from the Fighting 15th, who, when he was at Southwest Airlines, it ran. It ran like a watch, but not anymore.
The stories you need to know to start your day. This is Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer. America First with Sebastian Gorka, today at 3, right before Sean Thompson at 4 on AM 560, The Answer.
Yeah, don't forget later on today, in for Sean, it's John Anthony. He's a good man from 4 to 7 here on The Afternoon Answer. Ray Ray here. Today I identify as a Dan and Amy. I can identify as anything I want these days, right? So why not? Little money to boot, can't go wrong. If you'd like, you can give us a call, 312-642-5600 or text 64636. Start your text with DA for Dan and Amy, and away you go. Up next, our guest James Brevard is a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, just talking about how taxpayers are feeling the pain of politicians with all this spending and the absurdity of this omnibus package. $1.7 billion and maybe more. This was a New York Post article. Some of the money and some of the spending are just ridiculous. But it does give us some fun stuff like the Michelle Obama trail, which, you know, we need. We need some of this. Let me see here. Let me get this right. Well, that's $3.6 million for the Michelle Obama trail. And then it's $200 billion budgeted for the Gender Equality and Equity Action Fund. Everything that we need to keep this nation running smoothly. Without further ado, James, good morning. Welcome to the Morning Answer. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let's talk about this bill and get into it a little bit. I thought maybe this cold weather would stall the omnibus, but to no avail.
Well, it's hard to stall congressmen desperate to buy votes and to force taxpayers to pay for monuments with congressmen's name.
You know, this only works until some of these monuments then get tore down. Then what?
I think it might be a long wait in San Francisco for the Speaker Nancy Pelosi Federal Building. It's a heck of a thing. The members of Congress are so arrogant that that what they do is take our tax dollars and build monuments to their own generosity and then put their name on it. And it's like, have they no shame?
To themselves. You know, I also read into this. Of course, I didn't read the whole thing because it is very, very long. But am I right also to understand that the head of the IRS now has a personal chauffeur 24/7, 364?
Well, that is correct. There was a specific provision in the bill which said that the Commissioner of Internal Revenue is authorized to have a chauffeur, but there is no relief for taxpayers who get run over by IRS agents trying to make their quota for seizing people's paychecks and bank accounts.
James, you're much more astute at this than I am. We're talking with James Vard. Maybe you can tell me what the earmark of $2 million is. And when you're talking about $2 million in a bill this big, it's just chump change, let's face it. But what's the $2 million for the Office of New York City Mayor Eric Adams for improving coordination between social agencies to support children and families? What exactly is that?
Well, it's important to keep in mind that some of the local bureaucrats in New York City have a lot of trouble with email. So maybe this $2 million can teach them how to send email from one agency to the other.
Maybe I can get them to work for my mom. She has a hard time working her phone. Maybe that, you know, it really is unbelievable. And let's face it, even if you look back to the Trump administration, I'm a fan, the spending was ridiculous. How do they pass this with a straight face and shove it down the throats of Americans? And how do we accept it?
Well, it's even worse as far as passing it with a straight face, because they pass it without even bothering to read it, and they don't really know what's in it. And I'm sure in the next few weeks that we're going to be learning that there was this provision in the bill and that provision, and oh my God, if Congress had only known. But they're utterly reckless, and these are people who have contempt for the American people. There were a number of members of Congress who spoke up and protested against it. They got rolled. Biden is doing his latest victory lap on this. But as far as how it happens, this is how this system is programmed to work. I mean, this is not a defect. This is a system feature. And it's been going on like this with these huge budget bills at the end of the year that nobody reads before they vote for. It's been going on on a regular basis for 10 years, and sporadically for 30 years. So, but, you know, bottom line is people don't have enough contempt for Congress, because this is absolutely contemptuous.
You know, now when I wake up and I read this and I say, son of a Mitch, M-I-T-C-H, I mean, Mitch just rolled on this thing too. How, I mean, give it some kind of a fight. I mean, this looks really bad for the Republicans as well.
Yes. I mean, most of the members in the House did not support the bill. Some, like Chip Roy, had very eloquent statements against it. But you got Mitch McConnell. Basically, it would have been possible for the GOP to stop this bill if they had if most of the GOP senators had held together and filibustered.
Jim Bavard is our guest here. Jim, I guess I got to ask, as I look through some of the soliloquy of this bill, what in the world is the COVID-19 American History Project? Can you clear that up for me?
There's so many boondoggles in this bill, and I was racing on deadline, reading through this 4,000 pages, and this is something which popped up, and I'm thinking, like, again, have they no shame? So this is Congress is spending $1.5 million for a COVID-19 American History Project. And I was trying to figure out what they do, and I'm guessing that they'll have rows of Fauci bobbleheads. So, but the thing that they won't have is the internal details of how the CDC, FDA, National Institute for Health browbeat Twitter and other places to censor any critics of federal COVID policy, to censor any critics of the vaccine mandates. This is a history which we need to know as American citizens, and this is the last history that Congress will get for us.
I never thought we'd be talking about Twitter as if it acted as a third arm of the FBI. It really is ridiculous. But, you know, maybe James, maybe what we could do is we could take the history of COVID, because sometimes we don't teach history that much in schools anymore, but we can take history, package that into some kind of a family-friendly drag show, and knock out two birds with one stone.
Hey, that's a better idea than anything I saw in that 4,000-page bill.
I think Merle Haggard said it best when he said, we're rolling downhill like a snowball headed to hell.
That's a great line. He had a lot of great lines.
He did. You've got the Nancy Pelosi Fellowship Program. You've got a building being named after her. You've got the Michelle Obama Trail. You know, really, shouldn't that be here in Chicago? We're getting the Obama Adoration Center here, so I guess we don't need the trail that leads up to it as well.
But wow. Adoration Center is a nice term. It was interesting back this summer when the FBI raided Trump's home in Mar-a-Lago to see some of the controversies about what happened to the Biden administration's presidential papers, which were, I guess, stuffed into a warehouse someplace there in the South Side for several years, and we still haven't seen them yet.
Well, we need to go raid that place so we know what he's taken.
Yeah, that's an idea. I think make sure you have some extra thick Kevlar.
Yeah, no doubt. The bill also grants Food and Drug Administration agents sweeping new power over cosmetics.
Yeah, it's interesting. Congress likes to pass out new power without any thought in these kind of 4,000-page bills because people don't read them. People just let them slip through, and then months or years later, oh, we didn't know there was a law for this. But it's a heck of a thing to give all this new power to the FDA after the FDA helped cause a horrendous shortage of infant formula, as well as and even worse, the FDA rubber-stamped the boosters for COVID with based on tests on 8 mice instead of human beings.
You know, it's amazing to me. If you've watched any amount of TV over the holiday period or listened to any amount of terrestrial radio, the amount of money being spent to push these vaccines, where they get this money, will they get it? Well, now we know we get it from a $1.7 trillion spending deal. But the amount of money spent to tell Americans how to live their lives on behalf of big government is absolutely ridiculous, and it is stupid.
Well, it's stupid, and it's a threat. Well, it's a violation of people's rights and liberties, and it's a threat to their health because there were almost no human health tests for these for the last round of boosters for these COVID vaccines, and there is a lot. There is growing evidence of problems from the long series of COVID injections people have gotten.
You know, and it is really ridiculous how, you know, the tail wags the dog because it's my body, my choice. I was working at a radio station that you know, much like I am here filling in, this place doesn't ask me for my vaccine status. It really is ridiculous the overreach that we've been through in the last 2 years that's come out of this whole COVID thing. Did you ever think in your life you'd see something like this?
I didn't think it would get this bad. I mean, I was, at first it made me flash back to 9/11, the period after 9/11 where so many people in Washington were so servile to the government and put the president and all the federal agencies on a pedestal.
Right.
But things got worse with COVID because with the vaccine mandate, with the arguments used, and with the secrecy. I mean, there have been so many federal cover-ups to hide the evidence of how the policies were made, how the strings were pulled, and there is so little interest in the vaccine injury cases that have been reported. It's almost like it's a sin to talk about those.
Reading your article in the New York Post, of course, you're a contributor as well to the USA Today. James, this is a far-reaching question. You don't have to answer this if you don't want. James Bavard is here. But do you think any of this, and I know this is what the conspiracy theorists believe, do you think any of this was a test to see how we would act under such government control as to maybe a gateway to socialism?
Gateway hell. It's like it's a milepost. I mean, with all the stuff the government's done in recent decades, going back to the 1930s, I mean, we're long a ways on the road to socialism. I don't know if it was a test. My gut sense is that it was not. It was just like a series of federal power grabs that turned into an avalanche. But I might be wrong. So
it was really unbelievable. I have a house in northern Wisconsin, many, many miles away from where we broadcast this morning. And if you went up there and you didn't have your phone in your pocket and you didn't turn on the news, it was like life just went along as normal. There were no fights at the grocery stores. Nobody was asking you what your vax situation was. And I think that's why there was such an exodus out of Illinois this year. We lost another 104,000 people. It's just continuing to suck people away to other states. I think people get tired of these blue state ridiculous policies. But hey, man, I'm stuck here for the short term, and we'll see how it goes. Buddy, I appreciate your expertise on this bill this morning.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on. It was a fun way to start the post-Christmas week.
All right, brother, be well. That is James Bavard. You can find him at Jim, B-O-V-A-R-D. And Jim joined us on the turnkey.pro answer line here on WIND.
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show
is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Stop rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell.
Sing it, Merle.
Stand up for the flag and let's all ring the liberty bell.
See, now, we'd be a better country if we did that. There's nothing I can do in the next 5 minutes that is going to be more important than what you just heard from Mighty Merle. Stand up for the anthem. Don't even get me going on that Brittany Griner. Glad to see that dude's home. I don't know what the hell I'm eating here, but let me just, as a public service to you, the AM 560 answer listener, if anybody ever gives you a thing called That's It, and it looks like a little breakfast bar, let me just tell you right now, throw it in the garbage. Don't even send it to the starving kids because it's not even worth them eating it. My girl put this, now she's been, I've been sick, man. I got sick Christmas Day. And I was down for the count yesterday, and I don't know what she's done to me, but this elixir she's given to me has worked. But she's given me this That's It bar, and I'm here to tell you this is crap. If you ever see one of these things, don't eat it. Stay away from it. Certainly don't buy it. It's a fruit bar, non-GMO, no sugar added, 100 calories per bar, and that's 100 too many because this is the worst thing I've ever tasted in my life. And I can say that because I know she's not listening. She's angry doing something else. I have to be careful how I talk about this next story because I don't want the from the FBI on my door. But I have something for that governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem. Oh my goodness! Not only is she a cowgirl, not only is she see things from my side of the island, is she absolutely fantastic? But she was gifted for Christmas a flamethrower, and if you go to your Google box. Or your internet there, and you look, you can see Governor Kristi Noem dressed up in Carhartts with her family, and they've got this flamethrower, and they're burning all their Christmas boxes and all of their stuff, not giving a hoot about the carbon emission that they're putting into the air. See, because they probably drive an electric car, so it makes up for it. I kid, tongue in cheek, there's no way Governor Noem is driving around in a car that's electric. She's in an F-350 Ford Super Duty dually diesel. I can almost promise you that. But that is one of the things we are, well, I don't know if you're watching it, but I'm watching it. It's absolutely fantastic. Check it out. I love Governor Kristi Noem. Why can't we have her here in Illinois? We're stuck with Governor Pritzker, you know, who wears, every time that guy wears his Carhartt, I swear there's four guys that are going without to make that one Carhartt, and it's not right. And it's never been worn. Don't wear a Carhartt unless you're going to use it. If you're in Bellwood this morning, there is still a boil order in place. They've got a lot of water main breaks around the town. A water service is restored, but they're still asking you that if you're there, make sure that you take the water, you put it on the stove there, and you boil it up before you use it. Rolling blackouts are still hitting the Mid-South, Tennessee, Kentucky, some parts of Indiana, into Pennsylvania, rolling blackouts because we just don't have enough power in our green-burning country that we live in now to take care of people after a, what I think, I understand that it got cold, but man, it's only been 4 or 5 days, and we've been much colder than this around here. I think the record temperatures for January and February in Illinois can get down into the minus 20, 25-degree range. Remember when we had the polar vortex? It was much colder than it was recently, but yet we don't have the power for you to run your furnace and have your house at 72 degrees. Power companies are saying, nope, tap it down a little bit. Keep it around 68 if you can. If you can, bring it down to 62, and we'll shut it off when we deem necessary. That seems problematic to me in what's supposed to be the greatest nation in the world. But with that said, President Biden getting ready to vacation in St. Croix. Hopefully he's taking Hunter with him because that guy seems like a hoot. That guy seems like a lot of fun. Hey, what's on that laptop over there, son? What are you doing? What are you doing with that mirror? Boy, this is going to be one heck of a fun trip. So he'll be in St. Croix. You turn your heat down and just follow along, okay?
There's only one radio show in Chicago talking about today's biggest stories and telling you what they really mean. That show is this one. Chicago's Morning Answer on AM 560, The Answer.
Thanks for listening to Chicago's Morning Answer podcast, sponsored by Signature Bank.
Signature Bank takes pride in helping customers grow their business and provide unmatched banking expertise, custom financial solutions, and the industry's best technology. So whether you're a business looking for a deposit relationship or needs a ready source of financing, Signature Bank is the right bank for you. Call today at 773-467-5600 to hear how Signature Bank can help your business grow and thrive. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.